Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And how is everyone?
Good,
thank you. Nice to see you again. Today we'll be covering Lesson 11, which for this Tokun class will be the last lesson. And then we'll have probably another Tokun 3 starting in a few more weeks. Anyway, what I'll do is, as usual, just cover these model answers. I might ask some questions related to these, but basically I've been just going through these questions because most people seem to answer well, so that, you know, there's not many more related questions to ask, but maybe I'll think of a few. If we have time, of course, we'll review questions from past weeks and maybe just other questions that I think of. Okay, so what we'll start with is the first question, number one, is what is maneki neko?
Okay.
And people have asked me, is maneki neko, you know, called the beckoning cat? Is beckoning very common? I said, no, not really, but it's sort of, beckoning is associated with maneki neko. So at the guide test, they will probably expect you to say beckoning cat because it's kind of become a set phrase. And then somebody asked, is passersby very common? It's not really, but it's an okay word. If you don't like that, then there's the English, expression with a relative pronoun, who. Maneki neko was a statue of a cat who beckons people. Maneki neko is a statue of a cat beckoning people who pass by. You can get the who pass by. And, you know, beckoning people who pass by. And some, you know, a lot of people don't like relative pronoun who, but it's used very commonly in English. So, anyway, however you want to answer, someone said is beckoning. Instead of that, can we use inviting? And it's possible. But anyway, I don't think it's too hard of a word to say, and usually it's associated with beckoning cat. So anyway, what's your answer for what is maneki neko?
Well, maneki neko is a statue of a cat beckoning passersby, which is made of usually pottery, stone, and sometimes plastic. Originated in the Edo period, which is around 300 years ago. The statues are often found at the front of the restaurants and shops. The size is usually very big because the cat statues are supposed to attract passersby on the streets. This idea was exported to Taiwan and China recently, and Taiwan and China, where they are becoming popular.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's fine. And again, I see. So I was, you know, one of the related questions would be, what are maneki neko made of? But then he answered, you know, ceramic, pottery, stone, these types of things. So that answers some of the other things you might want to add to your answer. So, okay, good. Yeah, see, as I say, as I ask everybody, more and more things come out. So, what's your answer for what is maneki neko?
Maneki neko is a statue of a beckoning cat. It is usually placed at the entrance of shops or restaurants because it is believed to bring in customers and money. Right paw is up.
Okay, this is what people have trouble with. A cat with the right paw up.
A cat?
With the right paw up.
Right paw up.
Uh-huh. Maneki neko with the right paw up.
In order to welcome the customers and the money. And also it hold money
in its hand. Okay. It's hand. Okay.
It's hand.
Oh, okay. Why don't you try that once more? You finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, all right. So let's try it again once more. What is maneki neko?
Maneki neko is a statue of a beckoning cat. It is usually placed at the entrance of restaurants or shops. because it is believed to bring in customers and money. A cat with the right paw up in order to welcome.
I thought you said a cat with the right paw up brings...
A cat with the right paw up,
I thought you said, was brings customer, no, brings money?
No.
Okay, what? Start your answer again. Let me just listen to what you say. Okay.
Right paw is up.
Okay, when the right paw is up, is like, but you're not saying, what right paw? That's what we need. In English, you can't just say right paw up. Doko no right paw. Nora neko or right or maneki neko. So
okay,
a cat and the maneki neko is probably better, right?
So maneki neko raise its hands.
Okay.
Up.
No. A maneki neko. A maneki neko. Okay, you want to a maneki neko raising its right paw. A maneki neko raising its right paw. That also works. Okay, is that better? A maneki neko raising its right paw brings money. A maneki neko with the right paw up brings money. A maneki neko with the right paw raised brings money. I think is that what you're looking for? Something like that? What do you want to say? The right paw raised? This part. This part probably even works okay. The right paw raised, but it sounds better to say the maneki neko with the right paw raised.
I would rather to say maneki neko raised its hands up in order to beckoning.
Okay, a maneki neko raises its hands in order to beckon people.
In order to beckon people.
Mm-hmm.
A maneki neko raises its paw.
Okay.
A maneki neko raises its paw in order to beckon people.
Okay.
And it holds money in his hand.
Okay, in his hand. Okay. Okay, I think I'm surprised we're having trouble. Usually, my neki neko is hot. Everybody just says, "Why don't you listen to a few more, and I'll have to come back." Why don't you?
Okay.
Yeah, you sound really confused, and I shouldn't be very difficult. So, my neki neko raises its hands. It has money. It raises its hands. My neki neko raises its paw. It has money in its paw. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Why don't you? What is my neki neko?
Maneki neko is our statue of a cat beckoning people who pass by. And there are two types of maneki neko, and right paw up maneki neko and left paw up maneki neko. And right paw up maneki neko brings in money. On the other hand, the left paw up maneki neko brings in customers. So many shops and restaurants have maneki neko.
Okay. Now this right hand up maneki neko sounds strange. I'm sorry. But it's I can understand, and it sounds kind of like Japanese translation. So that's why the maneki neko with the right paw up sounds like standard English. Okay. The right paw raised maneki neko. The maneki neko who raises its right hand. A maneki neko that raises its right hand is also possible, but I know Japanese don't like these who and that. The kanki daimeshi people just go, oh, you know. So to avoid that, the maneki neko with its right paw up, it's just okay. Okay. And see, this is what I'm going for. A maneki neko with its right paw up brings in money. A maneki neko with its left paw up brings in customers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's what, see, that's what one of my, you know, related questions is, what if the right hand is, if the right paw is up, what does it bring? If the left paw is up, what does it bring? So why don't you try this again? And actually talking about these relative pronouns, is, you could say, you know, the first sentence is, Maneki Neko is a statue of a cat that beckons people who pass by. So you have two relative pronouns, right? And also, in order to avoid that, that's where they have a cat beckoning passers, people who pass by. A cat that beckons people who pass by is also possible. Okay, so there's many ways you can say this, however you're comfortable. But I don't think right hand paw up, right raised paw, what is it, right raised, left raised paw sounds a little strange. So why don't you practice this, okay?
Maneki Neko is a statue of a cat beckoning people who pass by.
Okay.
And there are two types of Maneki Neko.
Okay.
And the first one is Maneki Neko who raises its hand, its right paw up, brings in money.
Okay, say that again. There's two kinds.
And there are two kinds.
Right.
And the first one is Maneki Neko who raises its right paw up and it brings in money.
Good.
And the second one is Maneki Neko who raises its left paw up and it brings in customers.
Good. Yeah, that sounds fine. The grammar sounds fine. The explanation sounds fine. So I think that works the best. If you just want to practice saying that over and over, your answer will sound fine. Okay, now going into this, you know, people remember, people try to remember which hand, which paw is up brings money, which paw up brings customers, right? So right technically brings money, left brings customers. Technically it's the same thing. I always say, I think now they have joke Maneki Nekos with both hands up, right? But the way I remember money and right is right has five letters. Money has five letters. So that's how I remember the money and the right go together. Left has four letters where customers has more, so it doesn't match. So they have the same amount of letters, so that's how I usually remember money and right. That's my trick. Okay, let's try. What is Maneki Neko?
Maneki Neko is a statue of beckoning cat. It beckons people who pass by.
Okay.
The cat raising its right paw brings money, and the cat raising its left paw brings money.
Brings customers.
Bring the customers.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And where can I usually see Maneki Neko?
We can easily see Maneki Neko at the entrance of many restaurants or shops.
Okay. All right. Once you pass back, you want to try once more? All right. Let me see what she fixed or what she did. Let's listen.
Maneki Neko is a statue of a cat beckoning people who pass by. It is usually placed at the entrance of shops or restaurants because it is believed to bring in customers and their money.
Mm.
A cat with a right paw up brings in money. There are two types of Maneki Neko. One is a cat with a right paw up brings in money. That brings in money.
Uh-huh.
And the other Maneki Neko with the rest paw up, that brings the customers.
Yeah, say that last one once more.
The other Maneki Neko with the left paw up.
Brings in customers. Yeah, that's all you need to say. Okay, yeah, it shouldn't be too complicated. This is pretty easy. Let's try one more time. What is Maneki Neko?
Maneki Neko is a statue of a cat who
statue of a Maneki Neko is a statue of a beckoning cat, usually made of ceramics. And if a cat with a right paw up calls in money, and the cat with a left paw up calls in customers, they are usually placed at the entrance of the restaurants or shops, and it is called welcome cat in the foreign countries, and it is especially famous in China.
Okay, good. Just entrances to shops and restaurants.
Entrances to shops and restaurants.
Yeah, plural with the S.
Okay.
Okay, where can I buy Maneki Neko?
You can buy it at traditional souvenir shops like and the shops around the Asakusa area, or maybe you can buy it at the department store.
Okay, why do they sell them?
Because it is believed that they will bring good business.
Right, but does everybody buying them have a business?
No. Because the Maneki Neko is a kind of cute, so maybe the people who do not do business buy for their buy them for just viewing.
Sure. Yes. Exactly. Okay. Good. That's a question. Maneki Neko, you know, are sold at especially Asakusa. Why? Because they're cute. They make great souvenirs. And people don't really maybe realize that they're, you know, for traditionally for merchants. But they really are cute, and that's why they have lots of different sizes, from very small, three or four centimeter tiny ones, to big ones. Is anyone see my tie? Those who are here can see my tie. Little tiny Maneki Neko. So I'm going to bring in lots of money today, I hope, or something. So anyway, we're special today for two reasons. So anyway, so yeah, Maneki Neko are actually very cute. I know I've seen TV shows where they're showing Maneki Neko in Taiwan, right? You mentioned, yeah, in China, they actually have it. So it's kind of a, you know, cute thing. So it does make a cute souvenir. Okay, is everybody okay about this? So, you know, made out of ceramics and wood, and some are made out of glass or stone. Some are very small, tiny, cute, from 3 or 4 centimeters up to maybe 50 centimeters for real business purposes, or 50 centimeters or more. And they can be bought at souvenir stores because they make cute souvenirs because they are cute. Okay, let's go on then to Japanese arts and crafts you are interested in, question two. So what arts and crafts are you interested in?
I'm interested in Japanese lacquerware. It was started like this. I had to buy something for my daughter's husband, that means my son-in-law.
Okay.
And I bought for Christmas presents and souvenir, mm-hmm, Japanese lacquerware at the department store.
Okay.
And my relatives-in-law, the son-in-laws. And his parents are living in the United States.
Oh, okay.
So I was looking for something Japanese. Since then, I am interested in Japanese lacquerware. Ceramics are known as China abroad, but Japan is the term signifying Japanese lacquerware. In Japan, lacquered combs and trays are found unearthed goods from the early Jomon period, about 2,400 years ago. And at the end of 6th century.
At the end of that 6th century?
At the end of the 6th century. It was said that artisans specializing in lacquerware existed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's said that Japanese lacquer tree sap is the finest quality, and Japanese lacquerware is considered to be the highest quality in the world.
Okay, where are some places famous for lacquerware?
Wajima is very famous, and Aizu, Aizu Nuri, and Shunke Nuri, and what else?
There's several places.
Yes, Wajima is very famous.
Right.
Some of the balls made in Wajima has 120 coats, and Wajima Nuri has a special, I don't know how to say it, a keisodo, that's the inside, together with lacquer.
Oh, okay. So it has a little more.
And it's very sturdy.
Sturdy, yeah. Okay.
And yet very elegant looking.
Right. Okay, good. So you like lacquerware. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lightweight too.
Yeah, that's right. Good. What arts and crafts are you interested in?
I'm interested in pottery. Mm. I drink sake every day. Sake bottles and sake cups are made of pottery or bowstring. I prefer pottery to bowstring. There are many kinds of brands of pottery, but I like, among them, I like Hagi pottery and Bizen pottery. Hagi pottery from the west part of Honshu Island is gray or white and very beautiful to see. And Bizen pottery from the west, from a city close to Osaka, is brown, dark brown or light brown, which is also very attractive to see and good to touch. So I enjoy the pottery and the sake every day.
Okay, good. Actually, it's interesting, but I think we have the same interest. Maybe we're men, but I like pottery of all the things. And when I used to travel in Japan, I'd always pick up ochoko.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere I'd go, I'd find the local pottery, bizen and hagi, I'd buy because I also like sake. So I can see maybe that's a good hobby. So I collect little ones. I haven't collected in a long time because I have too many. But yeah, those are pottery is very interesting, the different colors and shapes and things. So good. I would usually go to the kiln. What is it? The Kamamoto?
Kamamoto, yeah.
Yeah, and I would, the kiln, K-I-L-N, I would go and actually, you know, look there, and sometimes they were opening it up and I could look at things. So it was very interesting to do that. Okay. Bizen I went, yeah.
You should try Oribe.
Oribe? Yeah, is it Aichi? No. I'm really bad. Oribe, where is that?
Kyoto?
I forget. It's famous, I forget where that is. I've never been there, though. Yeah, so there's lots of different places all over the country. So, good. What arts and crafts are What arts and crafts are you interested in?
I'm interested in ukiyo-e. Ukiyo-e is a style of wood block painting developed in the Edo period. It depicts beautiful women, kabuki actors, small wrestlers, and beautiful sceneries of Japan. There are two most famous ukiyo-e artists. One is Katsushika Hokusai, who depicted the 33 views of Mount Fuji. 36 views of Mount Fuji. And the other is Utakawa Hiroshige, who depicted 53 stations of the Hokkaido. If you would like to see ukiyo-e, I would recommend the Ota Memorial Museum. It is located in Harajuku. You can see both two artists' ukiyo-e.
Okay, good. The only thing I think that, what did you say, the two most famous?
here. Two most famous ukiyo-e artists.
If you want to say that. I'm not sure if they are. Actually, there's others too, right? Hokusai and Utamaro. And so two of the most famous is probably a better way to say that. Two of the most famous ukiyo-e painters are... And then that does not give information, because I'm not sure to say if they're the most famous or not. Could be a very good possibility, but it just sounds a little better to say. Two of the most famous ukulele painters are... Okay. And what are you interested in?
I'm interested in Buddhist statues. Can I say Buddhist statues?
Sure.
Okay.
Good.
And then there are four types of Buddhist statues. And first one is Nyorai. he reached the enlightenment, so he wears simple clothes. And the second one is Bosatsu, and they are on the way to reach enlightenment. So they have still desires, so they wear crowns and then jewelries and other ornaments. And the third one is a Myoho, who protects people from the evils. So they look angry. And the fourth one is Ten, who is the guardian god of Buddhism, a guardian statue of Buddhism. And there are so many Buddhist statues throughout Japan, but in the Kanto area, you can see Nyorai in Kamakura, in Kotoku in temple in Kamakura, and then Kamakura Buddhist statue. Buddhist statue of Kamakura looks...
Okay, why don't we say, let's start again. In Kanto?
In Kanto region, and you can go... You can see the Great Buddha, statue of Great Buddha
in Kamakura,
and he has a good-looking face.
Okay, and the statue, you could also, like, in Kanto area. And the famous Nyorai statue is the Great Buddha in Kamakura. Yeah. Okay, so, an example of Nyorai is the Great Buddha in Kamakura. Is that okay? Yeah, there's another famous one, which is where?
Another famous one is the one in Todaiji Temple, and it is located in Nara Prefecture.
Right, those are probably, to me, the two most famous Nyorai examples, because they're so famous and everything historical and everything. Good. Yeah, I don't know much about Buddhist statues. I can tell the difference. Okay. For the Bosatsu, they have desires. Sometimes you want to... I think they have worldly desires and materialistic desires. Do you understand what that means? Yeah, because that's why they're wearing jewelry and fancy clothes and crowns, because they still want to possess things. They still want to have things. But when you attain enlightenment, you don't need anything except a simple robe. Okay? Good. Interesting. I usually get someone with statues, someone with pottery, ukiyo-e. Let's see what you are interested in.
How about Japanese dolls?
Okay, if that's what you're interested in, so I'm interested in Japanese dolls.
If you visit a certain place, that place has very typical dolls.
Okay.
So if you go to Kyoto Ningyo, mm-hmm. when you go to Hakata Ningyo, mm-hmm. and other country areas have kokeshi, mm-hmm. cylindrical wood dolls.
Cylindrical.
And if you have boy children, maybe warrior dolls, mm-hmm. and when your children are girls, how about Hina dolls? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hina dolls are emperor and empress dolls.
Right. Okay. So probably to answer the question more directly is not how about Janakite. I am interested in, the question asks, what are you interested in? So you need to really answer, I am interested in dolls. For example, the different dolls around the country, the Kyoto doll, the Hakata doll. Okay?
Okay.
So it's not asking what arts and crafts are interesting. No. If the question was, what arts and crafts are interesting? Oh, how about dolls? Dolls are interesting. But the question is, what are you interested in? So you have to say, I am interested in dolls, if that's what you're interested in. Okay?
Okay.
All right, that's good. And how about you? What are you interested in as far as arts and crafts?
I'm interested in the Japanese art of calligraphy. And because I think the people who have a beautiful handwriting look elegant. And
okay. What you're saying is people look elegant.
People look elegant, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
So even if I look with a bad face, am I right beautifully, I look beautiful? Thank you. So I'm not sure, was that what you want to say? Or the writing looks elegant?
Looks intelligent, like.
Oh, okay, all right, intelligent probably. That's probably works better, yeah. So people who can do calligraphy with beautiful letters look intelligent.
And look intelligent.
Yeah, that's a better word than elegant.
People who have a beautiful handwriting look elegant.
Intelligent.
Intelligent.
Okay.
Intelligent. And also, I think that I can get a good posture while practicing the calligraphy. Japanese calligraphy emphasizes the shades of the ink and the movement of the writing brush and the combination of the strokes. And people practice calligraphy in a quiet place and try to cultivate one's inner self.
Okay, good. That's fine. So change elegant to intelligent.
Okay.
That's better. Good. Okay. We've gone around for this one. Everybody had a chance. Okay. And let's go to number three, which is Netsuke. And the thing here that is to me confusing is toggle-like. This little word. This Netsuke is a small toggle-like object carved out of wood. I think if you don't say it, it just sounds... First of all, what is a Netsuke? It's a small object carved out of wood or ivory or stone or bone. Okay, and it's originally used to fasten a seal or pouch or purse, like a hook. It's not really a hook, but in other words, it's something that, you know, can be hooked on. So anyway, just other than that, I think it's okay. This toggle-like, I'm not sure what that means. But it's there if you want to say it, but I don't think it's a word that's not common at all, toggle-like. I've never seen that before. Okay, so what's your answer for Netsuke?
Netsuke is a small, about 4 centimeters or less than 1.5 inches size object used to hook a seal case or a purse to a kimono. Netsuke is a carved object of wood or ivory. That's it.
Okay, that's fine. Sure. Okay, and what is Netsuke?
Netsuke is a small object carved out of wood or ivory. Originally, it was used to fasten a seal case, pouch, or a purse, like a hook, to a kimono sash. Netsuke is from 1 centimeter to 4 centimeters big, and has intricate carvings which depict such subjects as people, animals, and daily utensils.
Okay, good. In here the seal case is not again, it's...
Hankoide?
Yeah, hankoide, right. Yeah, that's what it means. But again...
Seal pouch?
No, it's okay. What I'm saying is something like this to me is not a common word. So probably it's better to say words that are more common. So just pouch or purse. Yeah, because seal cake. I think the first time I read it, I wasn't sure what a seal used to fasten or seal a case. I thought, you know, fasten a seal case. I was okay, the little pouch or pocket that holds your hunko, right? The seal. So you could just say pouch or purse. That's enough. Okay.
You need a pouch.
Yes.
And a pouch.
Yes. To fasten a pouch. Well, I use plural. Normally in English. Originally, it was used to fasten pouches and purses.
Oh, okay.
Two kimono sashes.
Two kimono sashes.
Yeah. So when we make it plural, you don't need the
Well, I said in the past sentence, Netsuke is a small, mm-hmm. So Netsuke are small. Or
yeah, actually, to back up, yeah. See, then to back up, make everything plural, yes.
Okay. Netsuke are small.
Or small objects carved out of wood. Originally, they were used to fasten pouches and purses to kimono sashes. So making things plural sometimes, to me, is a little easier. And it's often more commonly spoken than than the singular. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Let's try once more. What is Netsuke?
Netsuke is a small sculpture. Netsuke are. Is it better use plural?
If you want, sure. Okay.
Netsuke is a small sculpture carved out of wood or ivory. It was originally used in order to carry personal belongings, such as tobacco pipes, money, or medicines. Since kimono didn't have any pockets, people hook netsuke to kimono sashes. It is usually about 4 centimeters big, and it has intricate carvings which depict such subjects as animals, people, and daily utensils.
Okay, right. It's really confusing, huh? I guess it was used to hold, you know, cigarette pipes and things. But it's actually like a hook, right? And then other ones were used like a button kind of thing you put a loop over. So, yeah, it's used to hold things. Used to hold things is fine. It's fine. Good. Yeah.
Oh, do many Americans know Netsuke? Because I'm wondering, in my case, I'm not so sure about what's Netsuke.
Netsuke, well, many people like Netsuke because they collect them. They have become very, very, very expensive, especially the ivory ones, because ivory now cannot be used. And so people know Netsuke and collect them with many, you know, different shapes. You know, there's frogs and eggplants and people and, you know, animals, other animals and things that are used. Some of that, my understanding is some of them are actually, they have like a hook on it that they hooked onto the sash and you would hang things. Others are actually kind of like a button idea where you have a loop, a string, and then you would put the loop over the netsuke that was fastened to the pouch. Do you know when they say on pouches, they used to fasten pouches or purses to a kimono. I've also, isn't the button is kind of like a netsuke. So instead of a hole, Japanese have like a little loop, and you would use it like over the button. So the netsuke, I think, are also carved so you could put the loop around it to keep the pouch fastened. So there's two kinds. One that are actual hooks that you put to the kimono sash. Others, I think, are the little object like a button that you put the loop over, and that they were fastened onto the purse. So I think there's two kinds, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, people do know Netsuke if they're collectors.
If they are collectors?
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. So some people know.
Yeah, if you know Japanese art, people know Netsuke.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? All right.
Thank you.
What is Netsuke? Let's try again.
Netsuke is a small, elaborate carving, and it is made of wood, ivory, and animal horns. And they are the origin of today's mobile phone straps. And but Netsuke was used in the Edo period when people wore kimono.
Uh-huh.
And the Netsuke fastened a suitcase to kimono sashes like a hook.
Hmm. Okay. Good. Anyways, what is Netsuke?
Netsuke looks like a keychain, but it was used in Edo period. In the Edo period to fasten tobacco case or medicine case to kimono sashes. In Meiji era, Netsuke became very popular because they were seen under the haori, to Westerners very fashionable, cool, so Netsuke exported abroad a lot. And Netsuke is made of ivory, bamboo, or wood. And its shape is people, daily utensils, or animals. Some Netsuke are very erotic ones, so for collectors, they are very popular.
Okay, good. Yeah, the information is okay. Your grammar needs fixing. Okay, first of all, they are used for a tobacco case. No, they're used for tobacco cases, and what did you say?
For medicine cases.
Medicine cases. So it needs
medicine
S.
Medicine cases.
Okay. And then they were exported.
They were exported.
Right. And then finally, their shapes are?
Their shapes are human beings.
Yes.
Animals.
Yes.
Or daily utensils.
Right. Good. So I would say they make it plural, then I think that helps. But you're mixing up plural and singular in the same sentence, and it sounds a little...
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Mm. When Netsuke is fastened to kimono sashi, where is the tobacco case? It's hanging?
Yeah. I've only seen a couple, but some of them, for example, like a monkey, the arm hooks onto the sash, and the other arm is the hook that holds the... What is it? Tobacco case or the
so
medicine case?
So from the sash, tobacco case is hanging.
Yes, I think so. I wish I should have studied it before I forgot. But some of them, like I say, are hooks. So they're shaped to be like a hook. So one example is a monkey with the hands. One goes into the sash and the other empty hand, you hook the case or the tobacco case or the pipe or something, I believe, or the little pouch. They're fixed so it doesn't fall down, but they're look hooks. And then the other, you know, so there's, I think, different things, different shapes that they were used for, different purposes, like buttons or as actual hooks onto the kimono sash. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I have to study this again. Sorry. But. Okay. Let's try. Are we okay with Netsuke? One of the famous, I think, is the monkey with, I can't do the hands right, but if you know what I mean, one hand is like a hook this way, the other hand is the hook, and when you put it in the sash, then you hang the bag, pouch. Okay? Okay, let's go to Oshibori. And again, I'll just let everybody answer here and see what kind of answers we have. So what is Oshibori?
Oshibori are hand towels offered in the restaurants or tea rooms. And you can clean your hands with Oshibori before eating.
Okay, that's all. All right, it's kind of short. Probably listen and maybe add a little bit more would be helpful.
You can do
Yeah? You want to do?
No,
okay, Oshibori. What is Oshibori?
Oshibori is hand towels. In a restaurant or tea room, they are used to clean one's hands before eating. Used oshibori in restaurants will be disinfected, washed, sanitized, and wrapped individually again and used again.
Okay, that's okay. This more specific information we could get. Let's see what his answer is. Okay, let's see. What is oshibori?
Oshibori are hand towels Oshibori are hand towels offered in the restaurants or coffee shops. And they are used to clean your hands before eating and drinking. People will do the same thing in when the guests visit their houses.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so in this answer, I think one thing is missing. Oshibori are wet hand towels. Yeah, why? Because if you give someone a dry towel, they really can't wash their hands. So to be more clear, oshibori are wet hand towels offered in restaurants, tea rooms. Do we ever go to tea rooms? So just restaurants or bars. Yeah, right? You go to tea rooms, bars, or right? People go to izakaya or bars. So oshibori are... wet hand towels offered in restaurants and bars.
And then, how about coffee shops?
That's fine, sure, coffee shops.
Bars, restaurants, bars, and coffee shops.
Yeah, tea room is okay. I mean, it just sounds a little old-fashioned. I don't really know. Tea room sounds like madam or somebody goes, right? You know, so just make it more common. They are wet, and they are used to wash one's hands before eating. In the summer, cold towels are offered, and in the winter, hot towels are offered.
Oh, okay.
Traditional towels are made from cloth, like a standard towel. Nowadays, most Western establishments and inexpensive izakaya give you disposable ones made of paper, like a paper towel.
In America, do you have like a paper towel?
They call them, yes, what do they call them? They call wet tissues.
Wet tissue.
I think they're called wet tissues.
Restaurants offer.
No, not really. If you, no, they don't offer you. So that's why even in Japan they sell, but in America they sell in drugstores like wet towels.
So customers buy themselves carry.
Yeah. Sometimes if you order something that's real messy, that has sticky or something, they could give you, but normally they don't do anything. Okay. So I believe, I've never used them in America, I think they're called wet towels. Wet tissues maybe? Wet tissue, what did I say, wet towel? Wet tissues. Okay, where is the mic? You have it. What is oshibori?
Oshibori are wet hand towels.
Excuse me.
Oshibori are wet hand towels or wet tissues offered to customers in restaurants or bars. They are used to clean one's hands before eating. In summer, cold oshibori are offered, and in winter, hot oshibori are offered. Oshibori is one of the important services at Japanese restaurants.
Hmm. Right. Okay, and in even the better restaurants, they give you oshibori before the meal and then finally at the end. Okay, what is oshibori?
Oshibori are wet hand towels offered in restaurants, izakaya bars, and coffee shops. And people use it to clean their hands before eating and drinking. And during the hot and summer, hot and humid summer times, restaurants offer cold towels to keep them cool. And during the cold winter time, our restaurants offer warm towels to keep them keep customers warm. And it is a type of Japanese hospitality.
Okay, good. I think I know it sounds nice to say keep them warm, but then it gets confusing. So just offer hot towels, wet towels. I think that's simple. Mm. Otherwise, you get keep who warm. Mm. Right, to keep them warm. Keep the towels warm, keep the customers warm, keep the restaurant warm, keep the waiter warm. Man, it's kind of, English is kind of a mess, kind of tricky. So I would just say they offer wet towels and hot towels. Or not wet, hot and cold. Okay, that sounds fine. And, oh, can you read that again? There was one thing missing, an S or something. Try it again.
Oshibori are red-hand towers offered in restaurants, bars, and coffee shops. And people use it to clean their hands before eating and drinking. And during the summer times, a restaurant offers.
Ah, that's it, summertime.
Time.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. During the summertime. Okay. Do you want to do oshibori or waribashi? I'll let you decide.
Waribashi.
Okay, what is waribashi?
Waribashi is a disposable chopsticks. Beforehand, they are split, so before eating, you can split them and you eat. Waribashi is from wood.
Okay, waribashi are made from wood.
Waribashi are made from wood.
Hmm.
And they are served at restaurants or when you buy bento lunch boxes. Supermarket clerk will ask you, do you need waribashi or not?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Just the first part, they're splitted apart or something. This split apart, they're split. See, I don't like, let's see, this works fine. Waribashi are disposable wooden chops that are pre-cut, pre-split, so they can be broken apart or split apart. This is okay, but splitted or something sounds, they're already split. Do you understand? So I say, waribashi are disposable wooden chopsticks that are still connected at the top. Waribashi are disposable chopsticks that are still connected at the top. To use them, you break them apart. To use them, you split them apart. And I think the grammar works and it's a little more clear. This is fine. They're disposable wooden chopsticks that are pre-cut so that they can be split apart before using. Before use. Okay. That's fine. Before being used, before use, before using. Okay? All right. Let's see what your answer is. What is waribashi?
Waribashi are disposable wooden chopsticks that are connected at the top and to be broken apart
when used
when used. Waribashi are disposable wooden chopsticks that are connected at the top to be broken apart
uh-huh.
when used. And the waribashi are usually provided in the restaurants. But recently, some people think that. Disposable chopsticks are not eco-friendly, so some people bring their own chopsticks to the restaurants.
Hmm. Okay, right. Yeah, some they're not really eco-friendly. So many now restaurants, instead of using waribashi, you use reusable chopsticks. They wash them, right? And one of the reasons is also, besides eco-friendly, it's economical to reuse the chopsticks, because waribashi, the price has gone up tremendously, I heard, because made of wood, which is becoming more and more precious. Okay, what is waribashi?
Waribashi are disposable wooden chopsticks that are pre-cut before using, so they can be easily split apart before use. Waribashi are usually provided in public eating places. Disposable wooden chopsticks show that restaurants are concerned about customers' health.
Okay. Right, don't use broken ones.
Yeah, that's my understanding, that Japanese don't like to use somebody else's already used chopsticks. So I think that they started out waribashi system. But now getting back to the olden style of using chopsticks over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's, besides, economical, it's the ecological, so both reasons, because if you go to the convenience store, now they usually ask, do you want waribashi? Before, they would just automatically put with the bento. Now the reason they ask is because they cost a lot of money, so they don't want to give if you don't need it.
I see.
Right, they're told to ask, do you need waribashi, how many, Is one okay, so they want not to give you. Okay, what's waribashi?
Waribashi are disposable wooden chopsticks that are still connected at the top, so they can, at the top, to be broken apart when used. Waribashi are usually provided in the restaurants, but we sometimes provide our guests in our houses. The usage of waribashi is controversial because we are wasting trees and destroying the nature by that amount. However, restaurants seem to be very reluctant to stop it because the customers feel much more fresh, much fresher, no, not fresh. Much
more comfortable
with waribashi than usual chopsticks, which is reusable.
Mm. Okay, do you have the same feeling about knives and forks?
They're metal.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I just wonder, because you're using, technically, you think about it, everybody's been using these. They just, hopefully, they wash it very clean and it's disinfected. But the idea is you don't throw away forks and knives, all the plastic ones, right?
But the wood can absorb water.
Well, wood, wood can absorb water. But
not metal.
Yeah, but a lot of the
saliva won't go in.
Yeah, but
metals.
Right, saliva and that, they won't go into metal. But the reusable chopsticks are what, either plastic. Most, a lot of them are plastic or, some kind of cheap lacquerware.
Plastic ones used in Chinese restaurants only, I think.
Well, maybe, but they are plastic, right? Some places, the Chinese restaurants can
only
use.
Japanese restaurants serving wooden.
Right, but the wood, but they're usually lacquered over or something. They're not just the same type of wood, yeah. So if you go to Yoshinoya, or maybe I do, because I don't go eat steak, so I go to Yoshinoya or Matsuya, and they have reusable ones that are kind of like a lacquer type wood. Yeah. Or they look, that type of thing. Okay, what, are you okay with waribashi then? What they are, reasons for using and how they're used and things. Okay, let's take a break and then we'll finish the rest of the questions. Okay.